This is not out of order, this service this morning. It may be out of style. You might want to turn it down just a tad. Y'all bear with us. I got a new microphone and we're going to have to tweak it this morning, I think. A lot of churches wouldn't know how to handle a service like this. For somebody to stand up and just start testifying, well, that's just so out of the ordinary. And I'd like to say it's ordinary around here, amen? We haven't let the old way of worship die, amen? And as long as we live and got breath in this body, we're going to strive to keep this alive, amen? The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We do have a church bulletin that Nate makes announcements for us, but we do not have a program. We want to give God full authority in the service and the Holy Spirit. The reason so many need a program is they don't know how to read the Holy Spirit. Does that make any sense? But I like it. I like old-time worship. Amen. I like old-time singing, shouting, and praying. People coming in the altar. I like it when people get saved before I ever even preach. Amen. Suits me just fine and dandy. Genesis chapter number 5. You say, what time are we going to get out? I don't know. It's not in the bulletin. It's not on the program. Amen? So, we'll do our best to get you out in good order. This morning I told Levi in my office, my son, I told him I was just anxious and nervous about the message, and He said, why? I said, well, it's so simple, I'm afraid it's just going to be, nobody will get anything out of it. And he said, Charles Spurgeon once said, take your message and make it simpler. Then take your message and make it simpler even again. And then take your message and simplify it even again. And then when you preach it, people will say, my goodness, what an intelligent man. Amen. Sometimes I'm afraid we go so far to impress that people are missing the message. Somebody once told me they left our church and they said they wanted to go to a church that went deeper. And I thought, well, man, you should shallow now. Amen. You're not getting the simple stuff. How are you going to grasp the deep things of God? Amen. In Genesis chapter number 5, we find some of the, I'm trying to think of a polite word to call it, some of the aggravating Bible reading that we have to do. Yeah. Are y'all okay with that? Those parts of your Bible that I remember when I first got saved, I skipped them. Yeah. It's all those genealogies, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so, and you cannot pronounce a single one of those names, and it's just, you feel like, well, God, why do I even need to know this? Why, if I'm supposed to read my Bible all the way through, why have I got to deal with this? But you'll find that even in the most boring portions of Scripture, boy, y'all died on me right there. These people cannot handle honesty, brother. Even in the most boring parts of Scripture, and we all know that's true. Amen. Sometimes some Scripture you read is like, wow, man, that's good. I can't believe that. And some of it's like, nah. But in the middle of rah, God can speak to your heart. And in the middle of this passage of Scripture, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I'm praying that through me He'll speak to yours this morning. In Genesis chapter number 5, I'm going to read quite a few verses of Scripture and then just give you a simple thought this morning. The Bible said, and this is the book of the generations of Adam. We're fixing to read a little genealogy here, okay? In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made He him, male and female created He them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Can you imagine being 130-year-old? And on top of that, your wife telling you she's expecting? That's just pretty wild to me, amen? So he lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. The Bible said, and Seth, his son, lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. You might find that boring portion of Scripture there. There's some pretty amazing things that I won't go into all of them. I like in the first portion of the Scripture where he talked about Adam and Eve. The Bible said he called their name Adam. There's a message in that right there. Amen. A man shall leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. But there's some good stuff in here. But I want to point your attention this morning to the three words that is found in the life story of every one of these men we read about this morning. Here's those three little words: and he died. And he died. They lived different amounts of years, Brother Charles. They lived different lives. They had different amounts of children. They had different occupation. They were different levels of education, different methods or different areas of background. But they all had one thing in common: and he died. For a few minutes this morning, I want to preach to you on that thought: and he died. Did you know that's the same thing we all have in common? Every one of us, if you go down to the graveyard, and bad as I hate it, we spend too much time in those things. One of these days, thank God, that'll be over, and we'll make our last graveyard visit. Hallelujah. But if you walk around to the grave in the graveyards and read tombstones, you ever done that? Sometimes at a graveside service after the casket's lowered and the family disperses, I walk around and look at the gravestones. Every one of them have two things in common: a date of birth and a date of death. Every one of us have a date of birth. How many of you know your birthday? Hold it up. Amen. Brother Freddie and I were visiting yesterday, and we were talking about how when you were little, you count the days to your birthday. You say, I'm 8 3/4, or I'm 8 6 months, and so many days. Man, you keep up. But when you get older, if somebody say, how old are you? Well, let's see, you got to stop and think, because you're not anticipating those birthdays as much as you used to. But every one of us have a birth date, and most of us probably celebrate in some way on that birthday. You understand that? I know this is simple, but get it in your head this morning. Just as sure as you have a birth date this morning, you have a death date. Understand that. I know this sounds like a negative doom and gloom message, but it's not. It's positive, I promise you. Just as sure as you've got a birth date, you have a death date. I heard one preacher preaching on tombstones one time, and he preached on the dash. You ever heard anything like that? He preached on the dash. Here's the date of birth and the date of death and that little dash in between. In other words, he said, fill in the blank, man. What's going to be in your dash? What is your life going to consist of? And we could go that route this morning, but I don't want to talk about what all we've done or what all we're going to do. I want to talk about how we're going to end this thing, this walk of life, this race that we're in. And he died. We don't like to think about it. I don't like to think about it. I don't sit around thinking about my funeral. Amen. I don't sit around wondering how many days I've got left till I die. But I'm going to die. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And as it is, say the next word with me, appointed. You have an appointment. You had an appointment at birth. Amen? Your wife or your mama went to the doctor, and they said, you're this far along. Here's your projected due date. You had an appointment with birth, and thank God you made that appointment. Amen? Else you wouldn't be here this morning. If you wasn't born, you ain't here. Amen. And so we all had an appointment with birth, thank God, and we're here. But it's as sure as we have an appointment with birth, you've got an appointment with death. You say, I don't want to talk about that this morning. I know, I don't either. But it doesn't change the fact that we will die. We will die. Now, listen, three little thoughts this morning. We're going to the house. Death, no choice. That's number one this morning. Death, no choice. You can't escape it. You can't get away from it. It happens some of the most lucrative businesses in America are funeral homes. Very little construction and building going on nowadays, but you should see the funeral home Brother Warren's building. His construction company, it's humongous. Why? Funeral business is doing well. Are y'all listening to me? The economy's not hurting the funeral business because people are still dying every single day. Listen, I'm just saying, death, there's no choice. We've got to face it. I know we've got to face it in our families. We just did with my aunt, Stephanie and Corby's mom. And that was a tough thing and a hard situation to go through it. But that was not our death, that was hers. And she dealt with that personally. Amen? Amen. But I need to think about my death and the day I'll breathe my last breath. And you need to think about yours this morning and the day you'll lose your last breath or breathe your last breath, because that day's coming. There's no choice in death. I thought about this morning as I was sitting in my office, I thought about the extent that people are going to live longer. Every other commercial on television is something to take the gray out of your hair. Something to make your teeth whiter. Something to take crow's feet off your face and bags out from under your eyes. Something to make you look younger. Are you listening? People are trying to avoid the inevitable. Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. If I could tell you how to live forever, would you buy in? If I could guarantee that thing this morning, I wonder if I could get me an infomercial. Amen. Get me an infomercial and just call it, "There is a fountain." Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God I found it about 26 years ago on the New Year's Eve. I took a drink out of the fountain of the water of life, and I will live forever. Amen. Y'all okay with that this morning? There is a fountain. That'd be a pretty good infomercial, wouldn't it? We might even pay this place off. If you convince people they live longer, they'll give you money. I'm just kidding, I'm not fixing to do an infomercial, but seriously, people take that stuff serious. Has anybody seen Joan Rivers lately? I wonder if you took a blowtorch and melted all the plastic out of her face, what she'd actually look like. Somebody said you could take all that off and find Jimmy Hoffa. I don't know. Amen. I bet you when she dies, they won't bury her, they'll recycle her. Amen. Take her down, put her in one of them plastic bins. Amen. Amen. People are going, hey, listen, man, you're going to get old. Do you understand it? There's no choice. You know what the aging process is? It is slowly dying. Y'all may not believe this. Some of y'all ain't been around that long, but Brother Charles Dyer, our assistant pastor, when I came here, did you know he was not gray-headed? I'm serious, heart attack. I'm not belittling him. He's my hero. But he was not gray-headed. He had darker hair when I came here. Brother Tommy's hair was jet black when he came here. And he had more of it. I was just noticing that, brother. You know what that is? It's a gradual death. And I don't want to beat this thing to death this morning, but I want you to get it. You have no choice in the matter. Adam and Eve were created in a perfect place. Now listen, we think we're doing better. Technologically, I guess maybe so. But spiritually and mentally, we've backed up. Let's compare. Adam and Eve were born in a perfect world with perfect bodies. And then sin came in and messed all that up. And they still lived 900 and something years. We're doing good if we hit 70 now. Amen. Can you imagine Adam and Eve with those perfect bodies? And the Lord told them that he put that tree in the garden, said, if you touch that tree, you're going to die. And I imagine after the day God came and found them hiding in the bushes and made them the clothes of fig leaves and all that. I imagine a few days after that, Eve and Adam was probably eating supper, and Eve probably looked at Adam and said, we ain't dead. That serpent was right. We didn't die. Can you imagine? I mean, just wouldn't that be the way the flesh would think? Now, God said, if you eat that fruit, you're surely going to die. And Eve probably looked around and said, I feel just like I did. I look just like I did. Maybe once a month or so, Eve would rehash that thing and say, hey, we're still not dead. Well, one day, Eve was getting ready, and she looked in the mirror, and she said, what is that? Amen. And she pulled that thing out. Don't ever do that. Don't ever. She pulled that thing out. She went to Adam. She said, Adam, look what I found growing in my hair. What is it? Adam said, I don't know. Amen. Never seen hair that color before. Then one day she looked and there was wrinkles under her eyes. Yes. And she said, Adam, do you think God didn't mean all of a sudden like? Amen. Amen. Maybe it slowly began to dawn on to them. Yes. That perfect body that God made me ain't perfect anymore. Amen. And that perfect body that you worked on as a teenager, talk to me, man, it ain't perfect anymore. I watch these little boys walk around here all swelled up with their chest poked out. I can't wait to see it hanging over their belt. Amen. Amen. It will happen. That hair they spend all that time putting the gel in and the mousse and the goose and whatever they do and stick that hair straight up on their head. I can't wait till it falls off. I'm going to tell them, you know what causes baldness? Hair gel. Amen. All right. Listen, man. Listen carefully. There is no choice. We're dying. We're going to die. Let me say it again. We are going to die. Number two. When? It's not clear. I don't know, and you don't know. We still all right this morning? Brother Greg mentioned in the devotion yesterday, there was a guy in Luke chapter number 12 that came to the Lord and he was inquiring about salvation, if you'll have it that way. And the Lord began to talk to him, told him to sell all he's gotten. And anyway, and the guy said, man, I'm doing great. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Amen. I got great plans for my future. I got great plans for my life. And you know what the Lord told him? Here was the first two words the Lord said to that man who was a rich young ruler who had plenty and was planning on plenty more. Here's what the Lord said. Thou fool. Amen. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Amen. You're not building a bigger barn. You're not reaping bigger crops. You're dying tonight. It's amazing how much energy and effort we put toward things that may not even come to pass. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I'm for education. I'm for your children going to college, getting a high-paying gig somewhere, and tithing. Amen. I'm all for that. Amen. But we're not guaranteed that. It's amazing to me how much parents will put into that education. They'll start saving, open up a bank account, and start saving for that child's college the day they're born. You're planning for their future. What about their demise? What about their death? Amen. Have you made any preparation for that? Yeah. By the way, parents, I believe it's our responsibility to see to it that our children know the gospel. I'm glad we have a bus ministry and we bring many children without parents. But that's not God's perfect plan. God's perfect plan is that a mother and father know the Lord Jesus Christ and then teach Him to their children. Why? Because we don't know. Look with me at James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Y'all still doing okay this morning? James chapter number 4. Just keep that thought in your mind. And he died. One of these days your record's going to be written. One of these days your record's going to be written. And many of you, if I live long enough, I'll be the one standing over your body. Amen. At home I have a shoebox. And in that shoebox are the little cards, the little information cards you get when you go to the funeral home. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Where you sign the book and they have those little cards tell you when they were born, the day they died, that kind of thing, who's preaching the funeral, where the cemetery is. I have a shoebox crammed. I can't put any more in it. It is crammed full. So how long have you been collecting those? Just about 3 years, 4 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. And what you'll find if you read through those cards, There are people from every age group. Every single age group. James chapter number 4, and look with me at verse number 14. Watch this. The Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Now stop right there with me just a second. For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow. He's trying to tell you, you cannot predict the future. And neither can them psychics on TV. Amen. You ever noticed on, and this ain't got nothing to do with the sermon, but you ever noticed on those commercials in small print down there on the bottom of the screen, it says for entertainment purposes only? If psychics were real, why don't they ever tell you nothing bad? If psychics were real, how come you don't call them and they say, you better set your life in order. You're going to die. You're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow. Yeah. They don't tell you you're going to meet a tall, dark, handsome man. Well, I don't want to hear that. Amen. Are y'all okay? Amen. Got a bunch of phonies. They can't tell you what your future is. Right. Amen. Amen. By the way, I can tell you what mine is. Yeah. But I still don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea. I said death, we have no choice. When? It's not clear. We don't know. You may be diagnosed with an illness and that'll give you some idea. My preacher friend up in Rochester, New York, I have to preach for him next month, Brother Hal Roscoe, his wife has cancer. They went in and told her she has a very short time to live. But it's still not clear what day it'll be. Still not clear what day it'll be. Some people get a fatal illness like cancer, and they linger on and linger on and linger on, and some of them they get that thing and it just seems like a few days and they're gone. You, what I'm saying is you don't know. My prayer is that we all live to a ripe old age. I hope we all live and get to be as old as Brother Spartan. Get to be married as long as he's been married. Amen. Get to minister as long as he did. I hope that, but I don't know. I travel a lot. Man, planes crash. Somebody told me the other day, said, man, ain't no way I'd get on a plane. Them things crash. Well, cars do too. There's more car wrecks every day than there are plane crashes. Amen? We don't know. We don't know. Every time you drive down 61 between here and my house, I live 4.5 miles from the church. Do you know how many times between here and there I'll come that close to death? All it would take is somebody in the other lane bending over in the floorboard to pick up a CD, hit me head on, take me out of this world. Amen. Happens every single day. Yes. What I'm saying is we don't have any choice about dying. The only way you're going to miss a physical death is if you're saved and you go in the rapture. Right. There's no choice, and then when, it's not clear. I don't know. I don't hope anybody in here die. I don't want to preach nobody else's funeral. I don't like it. I wish we'd all just live to the rapture and go home and be with the Lord. That'd be great with me. Amen. 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 But we don't know. We don't know. Here's the third thought this morning, and I'll be done. Death, there's no choice in the matter. No choice. When? It's not clear. It's not certain. You don't know. You cannot tell me what day you'll die. You cannot tell me what day I'll die. I do not know. I hear about people all the time. They were perfectly healthy, had a, what do you call that in their head? An aneurysm bust in their head, and they fall over dead. I remember a few years ago, Brother Freddie, Brother Dennis Hollis, his dad and mom were going on vacation. They stopped at a restaurant on Thornton Road to eat lunch. That's when the Round Hospital was still open there. They stopped at a Denny's or a something there to eat IHOP. They was at IHOP. They went to IHOP to eat, and while he was eating, all of a sudden he started feeling sick. Sick enough that he went across the street to the hospital. Brother Dennis called me and said something's bad wrong with my daddy. By the time I could get there, he was gone. He got up, packed his bag, and was going on vacation to spend time with his wife. He didn't make it out of town. You don't know. I know this is not encouraging this morning, but it is reality. We're living in a day when every preacher in America wants to do everything but reality. We want reality TV. Y'all okay? We want reality TV. We want to go to the doctor and the doctor be real with us. We want to come to church and have the preacher sugarcoat it where we don't have to face reality. But the reality is this morning, I don't care who you are, you're dying, you have been since you were born. Every breath you take, you're one closer to the last one. Could be the next one. I hope not. Did you know we've had people die at church? I had a dear friend. They moved out of town, came back to visit to surprise me. He He walked in the bathroom between Sunday school and church, fell on the floor, graveyard dead. That wasn't his plan. Wasn't his plan. When? It's not clear. We don't know. Thirdly, and I'm done. How you die, you choose. Amen. How you die, that's your choice. And you can make that choice right here today. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. If you've got a Bible, I want you to turn with it and look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'm done. We're going to give the invitation. I don't think it has to be a long sermon every time. I don't think it has to be. I don't think it has to have a lot of pretty illustrations or poems. Just to the point. Simple and to the point. What's the point, preacher? You're dying. You're dying. You don't know when. But how you die, that's something you can do something about. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and look with me at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 20. Watch this. I ain't in the right place. 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. The Bible says, for as in Adam, say the next two words with me. All what? Say it again. All what? All what? In Adam. Now, stay with me. I'm going to try to explain this without being real complicated this morning. In Adam, that means in this flesh. Do you understand that? The Bible talking about Adam said, for whereas by one man sin entered into the world. Adam brought the curse of sin, the curse of death to all of us. For as in Adam, all die. In this flesh, we all will die because the scripture is true. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. For as in Adam, all die. Now let's finish the verse. It gets better. Even so in Christ shall all be what? Say it with me. Made what? Talk to me. Made what? Made alive. Man, what a difference. In Adam, we have death. In this flesh, I have death. But in Christ, I have life. And it's my choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. It is my choice. And it's your choice this morning. You don't have to die without knowing. You don't have to die in uncertainty. A preacher doesn't have to stand over you and say, I can't tell you where your loved one is. You can make that choice today and change your eternal destiny forever and ever and ever and ever. Now listen, I mentioned a while ago that we just buried my aunt just a few weeks ago. And it was hard. I wept like a baby in my flesh. In Adam, I hurt. But in Jesus, I rejoiced. Y'all understand that? There's a part of me, somebody said, well, I don't want to cry. Man, let her rip, man. The Bible said there's a time to weep. There's a time of mourning. In Adam, I cried, but in Jesus, I rejoiced. In Adam, I remembered what I saw in the hospital that last day, Stephanie, we spent with her. I remembered the oxygen in her nose. I remember not having the strength to get up and walk herself to the restroom. I remember the agony. I remember the pain. I remember the struggling for breath. But as I stood before that casket, there was something on the inside of me. I'm talking about the Spirit of the living God that whispered to my soul, she's not here, for she is risen. She's not dead, but she is very, very, very much alive. As in Adam, all die, but in Christ, all are made alive. Amen. If you come down, if you hear today that Brother Eddie White has died, and you come to the funeral home, you tell them people it's a lie. He ain't dead. He ain't dead. I know him. He's somewhere clicking his heels behind his head, running up and down the streets of glory with Brother Jay and his family that are done gone off. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, for the child of God, death is not death at all. It's life and life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, wait a minute, is the Bible contradicting itself? No, it's not. It's making itself explain Scripture with Scripture. It's making itself very clear. But I thought we all had to die. We do. This flesh, it just can't go forever. It's just not going to make it. It's like a car. It's just so many miles it can give. And it wears out. Only so many times that valve in your heart can open and close. Only so many times. And it expires. Amen.
We are going to die, but in Christ, we can live. If I live to be 80 years old, my grandmother's at home this morning. She's 83, 85. Man, I ain't keeping up, am I? 85 years old. Friend, that's old. Now, I'm not making fun of my grandma. 85 years old, that's old. Even to a 47 years old. That I used to think 47 was old. I don't anymore. But if we lived to be 85 years old, that'd be remarkable, wouldn't it? Yeah. Now compare 85 years to forever. Amen. Eternity. Understand this morning, and we're going to leave. There's a part of you that I can't see. Yes. And a part of you that you can't see and this world can't see. All I see is Adam this morning. Amen. The flesh, the body that you live in. But inside you, there's a soul. And that soul will not die. Because it's a spiritual being. It will live forever somewhere. Heaven or hell. Remember I said death, you have no choice. When, it's not clear, it's uncertain. How you die, that's up to you. That's up to you. Somebody told me recently in a meeting at church, I don't know if I believe that or not. Here was my response, you will. You will. In Luke chapter number 15, there was a man, he was just called the rich man. We don't know his name. Yes. But there was a poor man, we know his name. His name was Lazarus. He laid at his gate and begged money every day. But the Bible said the rich man fared sumptuously every day. He's doing well. The Bible said that Lazarus died and was carried to Abraham's by an angel to Abraham's bosom. The Bible said the rich man died also, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Y'all listening? In Adam we all die. But in Christ this morning we can live. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I believe that abundantly could refer to after the funeral's over. There's an old song, Brother Charles, that says, I just started living. I just started living. My life has just begun. Can you imagine life without trouble? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine life without sickness, pain, heartache, suffering, death, sin? Can you imagine a life like that? That's the one I'm going to live. That's the one I'm promised. That's the one the young lady who came to the altar this morning, she just started living today. Amen. She just got her ticket, son. She just got born again. What's that mean? Yeah. She was dying in Adam, but now she was reborn in Christ. Yes. Jesus looked at Nicodemus, the educated Jew, and he said, what must I do? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Yeah, amen. The first time you were born in an old, dying, rotten, decaying body. That second time you were born in Christ. Nicodemus couldn't understand it no more than some of you are right now. You're going, Nicodemus said, I can't enter back into my mama. Is that what he said? How can I? And the Lord said, you don't get it. You just don't get it, Nicodemus. Let me simplify it to you. We're not talking about a natural birth. We're not talking about you getting a new birthday party. We're not talking about a new birth certificate. We're not talking about going backwards, son. We're talking about going forward. That first birth you had was a natural birth. I'm talking about a supernatural. I'm talking about something heaven sent. I'm talking about something only God can do. It's your choice. You're going to die. And he died. I can't imagine living 900 something years. But it ended just like the rest of us. Amen. And he died. Amen. I want to live a good life. I want to accomplish much. I do. I want to touch lives and make a difference. But I got to deal with the fact one of these days it's going to be over. Amen. I'm going to die. In that, I have no choice. When? I ain't got a clue. But how I die, that's up to me. That's my decision. All I've got to do is accept what Jesus did for me or reject it. Some of you right here in just a second, Brother Todd, y'all come on and get us a song. You're about to make one of the most important decisions in your life. could be that you're fixing to make the greatest decision you've ever made. Or it could be you're fixing to make the worst decision you've ever made. It shudders my soul to think that somebody would hear the gospel this plain, this simple, leave here and die and go to hell. And there's absolutely no need whatsoever. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You're going to die. Here's the question. How will you die this morning? Have you got that settled in your heart? Do you know? Let me ask you a question. If there's no doubt or no reservation in your mind today, you look me right square dead in my God-given eyeballs this morning and say, preacher, I can promise you this one thing. If I fall over, graveyard dead before this service is over, you tell my family I know for a fact I'm in heaven. You tell them. You tell them, because I got that settled in my heart. How about it this morning? No doubt. You got her nailed down for sure. That's about everybody here this morning. About everybody here. There's no song that says, I want us to be together in heaven. Please don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You say, I don't know if I'm ready. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We didn't finish reading that verse a while ago, talking about your life being a vapor. Just appears for a little while, and then it's gone. Then it's gone. Then he said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now, I wouldn't wonder about that thing ever again. I'd get it settled right here today. I don't care if you've been a member of this church for 20 years. If you're not sure you're saved, get that thing settled this morning. Let's bow our heads all over the house. They're going to sing in just a minute. Before they do, I wonder, listen, I promise you, I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. That's not my way. If I've got to drag you to an altar, you're not ready to come. But if you're here this morning, you didn't raise your hand and say, Brother Eddie, I know if I died today, heaven would be my home. If you couldn't say that for sure, I wonder if you'd slip up your hand right now. Say, preacher, pray for me. I need to get that settled in my heart. God bless you, sir. God bless you so much. Anybody else? I know there are others. God bless you, ma'am. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really know heaven's going to be your home, I'd like to get that settled in my heart today. Just pray for me. Anybody else? We're going to pray. And listen, I'm going to have a young man come and stand in this altar with his Bible. Sir, if you'll meet him right here, he'll help you and you get that settled right here today. Ma'am, I'm going to have a lady waiting on you, ready to pray with you and help you this morning. Don't leave in doubt. Leave with assurance in your heart where you'll spend eternity. And he died. That'll be our story one day. But I hope it's not the end of your story. I hope it's just the beginning. Fathers, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, thank you for how you've blessed. Thank you for what you've already done in this service this morning. Thank you for the young lady, God, who came and trusted you with her heart and her future, her eternity. Thank you for that, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd do it again. Lord, even now as we give this invitation, these that raised their hand, God, I pray you'd give them courage. Lord, give them deep enough concern about their soul. Lord, to step out from where they are, get in this altar, and get this thing settled once and for all. Father, please just have your way today. And God, we'll thank you. We'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Miss Sheila, would you come? Bring your Bible. Levi, how about you come? Bring your Bible.